Good evening. I'd like to welcome all you back on this still Lord's Day. Even though it's cold, still a beautiful day. Have you ever heard the phrase, practice makes perfect? When you look at an athlete, they go and practice, they train, and then they apply what they practiced on game day when they step on the field and play their opponents. And those who practiced hard and took what they practiced and applied it, most of the time they win. But when one does not practice, when one decides to be lazy, to do nothing and joke around during practice and not listen, those are individuals who will not help you win. Those are individuals that will bring down their whole team and they will lose. My senior year of football, we went 0-10. We lost every game. Now, granted, it's my last year, and we had fun. I mean, especially when you get to 0-5, by that time, you know you're not going to the playoffs. So we chose to have fun the rest of the season and joke around, and that's the result of it. But when it comes to being a Christian, we are called to practice, to put in to practice what we have learned, to apply it to our lives. We study, we dive deep into God's word, and we do as we are told, as we have been commanded. We are to put it into practice. It's so simple to do, but yet it is very hard because we will meet challenges. We will face trials. But it's worth it in the end. And so when we look at the new man, he practices what he preaches. He takes God's word, he applies it to his life, and he goes forth. And he walks like Christ, he talks like Christ. He dedicates his entire life to living for Christ. And that's what we see with the new man in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 here. And we covered this part of this text in one sermon. We see with verses 2 through 4, we talked to the Apostle Paul here is calling for the Colossians to be earnestly in prayer, to be vigilant in it with thanksgiving, praying for them that a door would be open for them to preach the gospel to all. And how important it is to take hold of every opportunity. But before we take hold of every opportunity, we must make sure we ourselves are living right, that we are walking in wisdom. As Paul says here in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. And so, walk in wisdom. We see multiple occasions we are told to walk in wisdom, to walk as wise, not as unwise. And we'll see that in Ephesians 5 in just a minute. We must be wise because Satan puts up snares around us. Temptation lurks around every corner. We must walk as wise. King Solomon, when he took the throne, he asked God for wisdom because he knew that he would have to make calls as king, that he would have to rule over a people, a whole nation. And he needed to be wise. And we see shortly after God gave him wisdom, a case presented himself. Two women fighting over an infant. Both claimed to be its mother. And so Solomon, in all of his wisdom, comes up with a clever trick. How about we just cut the infant in half and give one woman one half and the other half? And we see that the one who is not its mother says, okay, let's do it. But the true mother told him to give it to the other woman to have the infant alive. And so with that wisdom, he learned that that one woman was the true mother and the other wasn't. Wisdom, walking in wisdom is important. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. We see that statement once again. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so we see to the Ephesians, do not walk as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we do, we live in an evil time. Sin being worshipped, sin being practiced. Only fools practice sin, practice lawlessness. Because let me tell you, the time is coming when Christ will come back, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have to answer for everything we have done in this life. The wise will understand this. They will understand what the will of the Lord is, and they do it. They look to pursue God every day, not just once a week, twice a week, but every day. It's important. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How important is it? When one walks as wise, he understands that unity. Brothers and sisters, if there is no unity, and that's a big topic in the letter to the Ephesians, is unity. It's important to understand we must have unity, because if the outside looks in and doesn't see unity, do you think they want any part with it? Do you think they want to have anything to do with it? No. There's no unity out in the world. It's every man and woman and child for themselves. But here can be a place where the church comes together and find unity, to be together, to worship their Lord, to have fellowship. That's wise, isn't it? Those are individuals who walk as one, who walk all together in wisdom, who understands that Christ is the one that brings life, is the one that saves us. And it is only through Him in which we can be with the Father. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's wise, isn't it? That's walking in wisdom. Who wants to be an enemy to the most powerful God in all of the world? Only a fool would take on God, and there are many who choose to do so. Let me tell you, God who created all of this, created us. I don't want to fight. I don't want to challenge someone like that. I don't want to fight someone like that. Those who become friends to the world become enemies of God. That is not wise. But there is a godly wisdom and there is a worldly wisdom. And worldly wisdom means nothing. And so when we look at, we must be careful how we walk and how the outside perceives us. Because you won't win souls if you are not walking as Christ walked. You will not win souls if you are behind closed doors sinning, and then you go out into the world and participate in the same things as the world. That's not wise. That's foolishness. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Babes in Christ are ones who are unskilled. They don't know how to defend. They don't know how to continue forth. They can't discern from between good and evil. And that's why when babes in Christ, it is so easy to deceive them. That's why we see so many today being deceived by false doctrine, because they have not given the time to grow spiritually mature. They have not given time to studying Scripture. They have not given time to prayer. they are not practicing what they preach. They are not putting into practice God's word. They're not applying it to their lives. One of the most foolish things I can ever hear someone say is, well, my pastor said this. I try to stop them and be nice about it, and I tell them, I don't care what your pastor says. What does Scripture say? I always tell people as well, don't take my word for it. Take what I preach to you and go and study it, making sure that I'm saying what's right. It's so important that we do this. But those who are spiritually mature, those who are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, they know. They have given time in growing in their relationship with Christ, that they have matured to such a level that they can discern between good and evil. They know what's right in the eyes of God, and they know what's wrong. And they know they want nothing to do with it. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we are fully mature spiritually, that we give time. That's how we gain wisdom. That's how we walk in wisdom. That's how we gain godly wisdom. And yet we have many who are not spiritually mature. We have plenty who don't understand why we worship the way we worship. We have those who think, well, if I just come on Sunday mornings, that's good enough. We even have those who say, well, you know what? God knows I'm a good person. I do right. I pay taxes. I provide for my family. They don't understand the full picture. It doesn't matter if you're a great person to the eyes of the world. If you're not obeying God, you're not a Christian. You're part of the world. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Once again, we see those who walk in wisdom. They sow to the Spirit, and these are the ones that will reap eternal life. But those who walk foolishly will sow to the flesh and will reap corruption, will reap eternal punishment. And so Paul gives this encouragement to the Galatians, do not grow weary while doing good. Continue forth, no matter what bad thing happens, no matter whatever names they call you, keep doing good to everyone, but also to those of the household of faith. It's so important, brothers and sisters, that we continue to do good, that we sow to the Spirit so that we can reap eternal life. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, because time could end at any moment. And if we are not right with God, if we are not doing what is right, we're going to reap eternal punishment. When we go and talk about the wise and foolish virgins, the foolish virgins did not redeem the time. They did not take the time to bring extra oil, yet they waited. And we see that when the bride and groom were coming, the foolish asked for the wise extra oil. But the wise said, there's not enough for all of us, so go out real quick and grab what you need. By the time they got back, the doors were shut and the banquet was going on. And we see there was no way in. They knocked, but were told, we can't open this door. And so they were cast out into the outer darkness. Those foolish virgins we see are those of the world. And they have chosen to walk as fools, not as wise. Walk in wisdom, making sure every step you take is pleasing to God and not to the world. And on top of walking in wisdom, we are called to speak. I put speak good, so. But we are to speak good. Nothing should come out of our mouths that tear people down. It should all be for building up. And when we speak the truth, we are to speak it in love. I think that's so important. In Colossians chapter 4, back in our main text, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. It's so important that our speech always be with grace. Hatred, anger. We talked this morning about fathers not to provoke their children into wrath. Fathers, mothers, we are to be role models to our children. We are to be careful with what we say, not just for the children's sake, but for our own soul's sake. And so when we look at James chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Your tongue can do damage. Your speech can do damage, but it also can do lots of good. By speaking truth, teaching people the truth, by building up your brothers and sisters every day, building them up, not tearing them down. It's important we always watch what we speak, how we speak. The new man once again watches what comes out of his mouth. Because one wrong thing can cost everything. For Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. No corrupt word. People will use this text to speak about bad language. I knew a preacher one time, he went to the YMCA to play basketball. And he played with a group of men, and they're all sitting around talking, and they ask him what he does for a living. He says, well, I'm a full-time minister. He said all the guys' face blushed because they used language around them, and they apologized for it. Why use that language anywhere? If you won't use it before the minister, why will you use that type of language around children, around other adults? But corrupt talk also, we can deal with false doctrine. That's corruption coming out of their mouth. They're corrupting others. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Edification is good. Building one another up that it may impart grace to the hearers. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Once again, we must watch what we say. If it's not pleasing in God's eyes to say it, then why say it? If it's going to tear people down, why say it? Why speak it? Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Once again, be careful what you speak. Tame your tongue. Walk in wisdom. Be wise. Don't be drunk on wine. Be vigilant. Satan is going around like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. And if we are not walking as wise, we're going to get caught up in the snares. We're going to fall. Remain in Scripture. Live out Scripture. Put it to practice. Practice makes perfect. Now, we will never be perfect. Absolutely not. The only one who was ever perfect on this earth was Christ. But once again, we must strive for that. We will never reach it, but we must strive to try to be perfect and do what is right in God's eyes. Walk in wisdom. Speak good. Speak well. Speak godliness. That's what it comes down to with the new man. Because going back to what I preached this Sunday morning, your children are watching, are hearing every word, and they're seeing every action. But not just your children, but how about people on the outside? The world's watching. Walk wise. Because you could change a life. You could bring a lost soul to Christ by the way you act, by what you speak. There are so many who need to understand this. I have run into too many Christians, and I've had Christians pull me aside as a minister and talk bad about other members. How did I handle that? I didn't say anything. I do what a preacher does. I do a sermon on it. It's sad that I had members pull me aside to talk bad about others. And the others they were speaking of were faithful men and women of Christ. They lived for Christ daily. Part of me wanted to tell them, how about you go talk to them about it? How about you say what you just told me to them? But I knew it would do no good. But we see this is how so many get it wrong. They have fallen for Satan's lies. These are the same people who think they've done nothing wrong. They think they're not in the wrong. Well, they have deceived themselves and they make God a liar. So we must be careful, and be careful what you say to the preacher, because it could become a sermon. So, with that said, this evening, if you are not a Christian, if you are lost, hear these words now. This is what you must do in order to be saved. You must hear the word and believe the word. Romans 10:17, John 3:16-17. You must repent of your sins, change one's mind. Acts 3:19. Confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10:10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Galatians 3:26-27. Doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. And that means walking in wisdom and speaking godliness, speaking what is good. It's not easy, but when you become a Christian, now you take what Scripture says, you study it, and you apply it to your life. You put it into practice. Practice makes perfect. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen, you have fallen into the snares of Satan, you have folded in the midst of trials, there's still time tonight to do what's right, to come forward, to repent of your sins, and renew your walk with Christ. Don't wait. The time is drawing to an end when Christ will come back and we will be standing before Him in judgment. Don't wait. So if you need any assistance this night, come while we stand and while we sing.